Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company.
I just love mushrooms. One of my favorites, or as I call it, the king of mushrooms, is the porcini. Now, stop right there. Don't be alarmed. There's a lot of confusion in this country between porcini, the Italian name, and ceps, which is the French name. They're fat and they're earthy.
Now, a man sitting in a car jots down porcini in a notebook.
Here in this country, and they would always be labeled dried porcinis, not dried ceps.
Back.
Okay? They
Come
are
on.
Very, very, very flavorful.
The man in the car, Beck, who's in his 30s with a stocky, muscular frame, strides across the street.
It's about time. Hour and a half I've been waiting.
Man, you're lucky to be getting in. It's an extremely private party tonight. Let's go.
What's he drinking?
Jägermeistering for style.
Great.
Beck follows the man through a nightclub that's heaving with young and sexy, trendy types.
Security?
No, but we do have a slight problem.
Have fun.
It's Arnie.
What's your problem?
That's your problem. Okay, the guy on the left is Jaleel Johnson. I think he's like a left tackle or something.
Jamal Johnson, defensive end. He's the best defensive lineman Notre Dame's produced in the last 20 years. Maybe ever. The guy on his left is Cambui Jackson. Ran for 2,000 yards last year, all pro 5 years in a row. The guy in the headband, that's Fernando Lewis, middle linebacker. Plays a lot like Ray Lewis. Just hits harder.
Whatever, Beck, I'm not into football.
The other two guys are Jimmy Cogashell and David Mulleo. One's from USC, the other one's from Ohio State.
Get out, bitch!
Yeah, well, anyway, the guy you're looking for is right there. That's Brian Knappmiller. Throws like Brett Favre, bets like Pete Rose.
So I'm telling this cat, I'm like, yo, I know it's you that jumped. I know it's you. I saw you jump. Don't tell me it's not you. He's like, I don't know. It must have been. I'm like, dog.
Excuse me.
It's you. I know. All right? 15 yards down
Excuse
the
field. Excuse me. I'm sorry to bother you guys. I apologize.
Hold on, my man. I ain't got no hookups and tryout camps. Just got to show up like everybody else. You're a big boy, though. I think you'll be all right.
So I'm telling the cat that I don't want to have to go sit through
Excuse
all that.
Excuse me, Brian. I'm sorry. I'm not here to talk to you about tryouts. If I could have 1 minute of your time.
I got it. Pass me that. Who do I make this out to, man? Who do I make it out to? Yeah, what's your name?
Beck.
Beck?
Beck. Beck. B-E-C-K. What's up, man?
What's that? Here you go, man. Knock yourself out. All right?
Thank you.
No doubt. Now, what are you going to do? You going to come back or what?
Excuse me. I'm really
Yo,
sorry.
Man. What are you doing, man?
A couple of months ago, you made some wagers with an associate of mine. 2-3 months ago.
What's up, Nappy?
Nothing. It's good. Enjoy your drink. You got your dance.
What's up, Jimmy?
Yo, bets? You come embarrass me in front of my friends about some bets?
I don't mean to embarrass you. This is embarrassing to me. I'm a big fan, but $50,000, you might have remembered.
Yeah, I know what it is, man. Listen, there's a G to get me started. Now, you do me a favor. You tell your man I'm going to come see him on Monday with the rest and not to send anybody else to see me. All right?
Brian turns away, and Beck takes a deep breath.
Brian, I'm gonna need some collateral from you.
What?
I'm gonna need the ring.
Brian looks at his huge gold ring.
I'm sorry.
Are you? Yo.
Slip it to me under the table. On the low-low, I'll make sure you get it back.
In the low-low. You want the ring, I'll give you. You want a drink, too?
Thank you.
Take the ring, buddy. That's what I think about that. Get the hell on, man. Go, man. Go. Go! Hey, do something with this.
You're the man. Go, man. Get up.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right, playboy. Walk. Go on, man.
Jump. Get your ass out of here.
With his face dripping, Beck makes his way slowly to the gents.
You all right?
Shit burns.
He gets out his phone.
Hey, it's me. Oh, yeah, he's here. We got a problem, though. He's got the entire offensive line. The entire offensive line is here. Let me do it another night. How about that? They've got a legitimate shot at repeating this year. I do not want to hurt them. I don't want to go out. Okay, Billy.
Beck hangs up. Leaning against the side, he looks at his serious expression in the mirror as he steals himself. Now, Beck moves across the dance floor towards the VIP area where Brian and his crew are sitting.
Matt Miller, you've got two choices. Option A, you give me the ring. Option B, I make you give me the ring.
I'll take B.
Wrong choice.
Beck sends one of Brian's security guys flying, then laying into another with some well-placed punches, he disarms him, then takes on the next. The guy swings a chair at Beck, which hits a pillar, then Beck punches him and slams him hard onto the ground. The dance crowd are all gathered round watching. Two of the footballers stand up.
Okay.
The footballers both raise their fists, but Beck gets in first. One lands hard on his knee, while Beck sends the other flying into a piece of furniture. He then smashes the first one into a pillar. A heavy grabs Beck in a fireman's lift, slams him into the DJ's decks, then punches him hard. As the heavy goes for a killer right hook, Beck grabs a turntable and lets rip with it. Brian runs, but Beck flings the turntable at his back and floors him. Then Beck kicks Brian, crunches his wrist underfoot, pulls him up, and takes the ring.
Yo, man, what's with all this hostility, man?
You should have taken option A.
Beck, position retrieval expert, 6'4", 220 pounds. Welcome to the jungle. Beck barges out of the club, then takes a moment to catch his breath on the street outside. Still looking a bit edgy, he crosses the road to his car. Standing in the open doorway, he gets out his notebook and starts to finish what he was writing earlier, porcini mushrooms. Suddenly, a headlight shines in his face, then he gets shot by two red missiles.
Are you alright, mate?
Yeah, okay.
The gunman, a short, bald guy with glasses, finds Brian's ring in Beck's pocket.
Thanks, mate.
He walks off with it, leaving Beck stunned and in pain. Later, Beck enters a mansion house kitchen.
There he is.
Why'd you send him, Billy?
Martin, I was just back up. After I got your call, I wasn't so sure you could deliver, you know. What happened anyway?
He stole it from me.
He got you with those bean bags?
No.
That is gonna be 10 off your vig anyway, you know.
Billy, you know I've got plans. You are gonna stop nickel and diming me.
It's a tough business, you know, the restaurant business. I hear that 75% of them failed the first year, and you know why? Undercapitalization, that's why. I just don't think...
Billy, I want out, I want a new life, I want my money, and I want it now.
Now. Now. Okay.
Billy crosses the kitchen to where two of his associates are sitting, while Beck waits.
One job. One job, I wipe your slate clean, and you have your restaurant. Come on, open it up. Come on.
Beck opens the envelope.
It's a photo of Travis Alfred Walker. Stanford dropout, treasure hunter only to date. The only thing he's found is trouble.
Did you say Walker?
My son. It's from my third marriage. Lasted about 3 minutes. That picture was taken about 2 months ago in some gold mining town called El Dorado down in the middle of the Amazon.
How much?
250 large.
For that kind of money, why don't you just invite him back yourself?
The boy doesn't trust me.
Kidnapping's gonna help.
Is that sarcasm? You want to be sarcastic? You do it to your monkey friends. You do not do it to me. Do you understand?
Sorry, Billy.
You're goddamn right you are.
What'd he do?
Pissed off the wrong people. I don't have to remind you what happens when you do that, do I? So I bought him some forgiveness. But if I don't bring him back here to face the music, you know damn well that I can't carry a tune. So you deliver my boy back here. You bring him right through that door. You walk out of this house a free man. With a restaurant. Wondered at his final
word. Don't take your guns to town, son.
A small yellow monoplane cruises over a jagged tree-covered ridge, which dips dramatically into a jungle-covered valley. The plane flies low between zigzagging ridges. Inside, on the dashboard, a small ornamental leprechaun nods his head. Beck looks out at one of the wings, then turns to the unshaven pilot with concern.
Is that duct tape?
Aye. Now, don't worry, no little fella. Walk by faith, not by sight.
They're heading towards a landing strip.
Look at that, we can't land now.
Why? Why can't we land?
I got the booze on the grind.
Booze on the grind?
Hey!
The booze!
On the grind, the cattle down there.
Cows?
Yeah. I'll get over your freight there.
Yeah, get over here. Come on in!
The pilot comes in low and scares a herd of cattle that are standing on the landing strip. They scatter. The cattle's hooves thunder across the parched earth. The pilot lands in a cloud of dust. An open-top four-wheel drive is parked outside a hut where a man in a hat is sitting. The pilot gets out.
All right, there, little fella. Hey, Shogi, what did I tell you about that left Manito? It's totally knackered. RPM's all over the shop.
Is this the only road in and out?
If you want to stay alive.
Why's that?
That, there, that's a jungle, little fella. Got anacondas in there, poison arrow frogs, black flies, bullet ants. And if they don't get you, the rebels will.
What?
Aye, rebels, that's what I'm telling you.
Today, I'm Cornelius Hatcher's built a Babylon of paradise.
Built a what?
A Babylon.
They stop for a truck full of tired miners to pass.
Yeah, that mine.
As close as a man can come to the gates of hell, though his heart's still beating.
They carry on their way.
The Sunday school picnic is over, I tell you that. Stay out of the jungle, little fellow, okay?
With the pilot, Declan, at the wheel, they pass by a crude road sign for Hell Dorado. They slow down at a checkpoint with two armed guards, then proceed along the rough track into a small mining town, nestling in a valley. Billy's son Travis carries a bunch of flowers into a bar. Inside, old guys are reading papers or playing cards. He walks up to an attractive barmaid.
I found these flowers growing in the deepest parts of the jungle. I mean, as far as I can tell, no one's ever identified them, which means that I'm responsible for naming them. I can only think of one word that fits something so beautiful. Mariana.
Mariana turns around.
How much do you want?
What?
How much?
I need your uncle's boat, a day or two max. Mariana, listen.
You borrow my car, you bring it back with no windshield. You borrow my brother's scooter.
The scooter was mechanical, it wasn't my fault.
Now you want to borrow my uncle's boat? And I found it. You will never find this garbo of yours.
Shh, it's Gato, I told you.
Gato.
It's out there, Mariana. I know exactly where it is, but I need that boat.
How much?
I told you.
No, how much is your gato worth?
This is a very significant academic find, Mariana. It's
not much?
It's not about money.
You lie like a little girl, Travis.
I'm not lying.
If I get the boat for you, you have to take me with you.
That's ridiculous. We're talking about a lousy boat here.
And we split the take 50-50.
I've been doing all the work, okay? I found it. No way.
50-50, Travis.
70-30.
50-50.
60-40.
50-50, and I get off of work at 6. Then we can go and get your gato.
You're evil.
He gives her the flowers.
Thank you.
Whatever.
For the flowers.
Meanwhile, Beck and Declan are walking through a secure compound, bustling with people and armed guards. As gold is measured out on scales, a man is watching proceedings from a high-tech surveillance room. The pair pass through a queue of miners, then go up to a man who's standing on the other side of a fence.
Harvey! We're here to see you, brother.
Where's he from?
He's an American. You got a gun?
No, I don't like guns. Check him.
Beck is frisked.
Falta dinheiro aqui. Ei, cara, isso não tá certo, não. Não foi o que a gente combinou.
What's the current payout?
We have payout for quadrant 3.
Tem que me dar o meu dinheiro.
É a corta do dia.
A man holds up a frog to Beck.
Hey, chega, chega. Tem que me dar o
meu dinheiro. Beck spots an armory.
2-4, 2-5. Down 20%.
Meu dinheiro.
A man's arguing about his payment for gold. The man grabs the gold off the scales and walks off, but a guard with a whip lassoes his wrist, making him drop the pieces. There's a scramble.
Check them. All right, let's go.
Come on.
Come on. Never met an American who didn't like guns.
As Beck steps into the surveillance room, the man who's been watching everything stands up.
Tell him to dig harder.
If only it were that simple. Aim is the back.
How do you know my name?
When a man of your dimensions travels all this way to visit a place like this, it arouses the curiosity. What can I do for you?
Do you know this man?
Travis Walker. I let him do some excavating around the mine, allow him to rent a room in my town, offer a fair 60% of anything he might unearth.
Can you tell me where to find him?
Yeah, just follow the bullshit. The guy's got a mouth, should be in the circus.
Brother, please. Do you have business with him?
I do.
Good. What kind of business?
I love business. It's personal.
So, why come to me?
When I'm a guest in another man's house,
yeah.
I don't reach into his refrigerator without asking permission.
Refrigerator? I want to show you something.
Cornelius Hatcher leads Beck onto a balcony, overlooking a huge smoking quarry.
Does that look like a refrigerator to you?
Beck takes in the view.
It's more like hell.
But you see, I see a spellbinding sense of purpose. I see the value of keeping your eye on the ball. When a bride slips the ring on her finger, when a businessman lays his hands on a Rolex, when a rapper gets a shiny new tooth, this is that cost, Mr. Beck, my horror for their beauty, my hell for their little slice of heaven. Somebody's got to keep his eye on the ball. That somebody is me, Mr. Beck. I am down here every day, keeping my eye on the ball. That's just a simple fact of life. And if you're bold enough to face that cold, hard fact, you can make a lot of money.
What do you want with the kid? Come to take him home.
That'll cost you $10,000.
I need to borrow the Jeep.
Wait a minute, Fran.
I'll give you $1,000.
Huh?
I'll give you $1,000. I need you to take my bag back to the plane, keep the engine running. Can you do that?
For $1,000.
That's right.
I'll find a way.
Declan.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be coming fast.
Beck walks into the bar where Travis was earlier. He takes in the punters playing cards and pool, then goes up to the counter where Mariana's reading a newspaper. She casually looks him up and down.
American?
Yeah.
She looks back at her paper.
Where from?
Some place that's got bartenders.
Taking her time, she has a sip of juice, then gets up off the bar stool. Wearing heels, she sashays past Beck, then steps around behind the counter.
What can I get you?
I'll take a beer. Nice flowers.
Todos son lindos. The smiling fool.
You know, back in the States, Brazil nuts like these go for $15 a pound.
Well, those fell off the tree out back. And around here, we don't call them Brazil nuts.
What do you call them?
Well, we're in Brazil, so we just call them nuts.
Fair enough.
So what brings you to the Amazon other than the food and drink, of course?
I'm looking for a man.
What's your type?
His name's Travis Walker. Brown hair, he's in his 20s, wears a blue shirt, jeans. Right now, he's got a real bewildered look on his face.
Do I know you?
Name's Beck.
What can I do for you, Mr. Beck?
I need you to make a choice for me.
A choice?
Option A or option B?
What's option A?
Well, option A is you and I walk out of here nice and easy, we get in my Jeep and we drive back to the airstrip. And then we begin our long journey back to Los Angeles. There'll be no blood, no broken bones. And no problems.
What's in Los Angeles?
Your father.
Travis's smile vanishes.
What's option B?
Pretty much the opposite of A. But I wouldn't recommend that one.
I'll take option C.
Travis, there is no option C.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure? I mean, big boy. There's always an option C.
He lashes out, but Beck kicks him onto the floor and cuffs him.
Oh, 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 so angry!
Shut up.
Shut up! Oh, 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 oh,
oh, like I said, there is no option C.
Hatcher arrives with a group of heavies.
Let me introduce you to option C.
Here's the Beck. There's been a slight change in the narrative, an unexpected twist, you might say. Can I have a beer, please?
Mr. Hatcher, I was just gonna come find you when this...
Kid stays. I paid you. Well, fortunately, I had my fingers crossed the whole time. Apparently, young Mr. Walker may have stumbled onto a trinket of some value, and as he's located it in my jungle, yep, I'm gonna need him to lead me to it.
A man of short stature who's been listening runs out of the bar.
Okay, so let's go, dickhead. Don't call me a dickhead, you dickhead.
Did you find it or not, asshole?
What's that, asshole?
Hey, Bobby, did you find it or not, asshole?
What's that, asshole?
Did you find it or not, asshole?
Come on, let's go.
Hey, don't rock the boat.
Okay.
I don't want any trouble.
Then leave now and don't come back.
And the 10,000?
Consider it tax deductible. A contribution to your personal health fund.
With all due respect, Mr. Hatcher, I'm feeling pretty healthy.
Oh, yeah?
Walk. Don't make waves.
Beck kicks Travis to the floor, throws a chair at the heavies, then flings himself behind a pool table for cover. As Hatcher's men try to shoot him out, Beck runs behind another pool table. Suddenly breaking cover, he jumps up, catches a guy's head between his legs, then disarms him and his colleague. Beck finishes up with one gun in Harvey's mouth and a second aiming at Hatcher.
Wow.
The two heavies start to get up.
You're gonna kill us all, Mr. Beck.
With a double-footed kick, Beck sends Harvey flying into the heavies and some shells. Then, after stopping Travis leaving, he takes aim at Hatcher again.
I tried to be reasonable.
He tosses the gun.
It's not the way to do business.
A third guard unfurls his whip and fixes Beck with a menacing stare.
You should have kept the gun.
When he unleashes the whip, Beck catches the end of it. After kicking Travis outside, Beck sends a table flying at the guard, then runs out of the bar.
You're dead already. You just don't know it yet.
This is Option B? Are you kidding me?
Quiet.
You're dead. You're so dead. We're not going to be able to get out of here. All this land, Hatcher owns, the road that you're on, the air that you're breathing right now, Hatcher owns it all.
Shut up.
Let me just say that whatever my father is paying you, I will double it.
No.
I'll quadruple it.
No.
I'll double it and quadruple it.
No.
You're being unreasonable. I'm going to give you one more chance to reconsider.
I'll give you one more chance to shut your mouth.
Is that your final answer? For what it's worth, I hope you enjoy the fall.
Now what fall?
This fall.
Travis kicks the wheel, making the car fly over the edge. They both jump clear in the nick of time and begin careering down a slope. From afar, their bodies look tiny as they plunge down the vast and endless mountainside. Beck somersaults over a ridge, quickly followed by Travis. They bounce and tumble like stones, banging into the ground and any trees in their path. Beck manages to stop himself by grabbing onto a trunk, but then Travis plies into him and they're both sent flying over the edge into a pool. Just as they both bob up to the surface, they look up and see the car about to rain down on them. The car crashes into the water, sending up a huge spray. As the water settles, a still handcuffed Travis surfaces. Seeing Beck lying sprawled across a rock, half in the water, he goes over and frisks him.
Well, where's the friggin' cheese?
Travis removes his cuffs. Later, Travis is scrambling through the jungle.
Travis?
Good God.
He tries to run.
Travis!
Travis trips and falls.
I'm not going back.
Oh, you're going back. No way. Right now.
Who the hell do you think you are, huh? You come into my town, mess up my bar. You eyeball my woman?
Eyeball your woman?
It's on. What's this? Huh? Who is this? Is he your friend? Do you know him? Do you? Say hello. Say hello. Say hello.
Beck floors him with a swift jab to the face.
Are you finished? Let's go.
Big boy, you like thunderstorms, huh? Bet you do, right? Little thunder.
Stop it.
Little lightning.
Stop it.
Thunder, lightning, thunder, lightning. Here's...
You done beating me up? Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm tired of this.
Here you win.
Travis surprises Beck with a kick, then he leaps onto his back.
Come on.
Beck smashes Travis into a tree, then grabs his neck and throws him over his head.
Obviously, we got off of the wrong foot here. So I'm going to be completely candid with you. Have you ever heard of the Gato do Diablo? The devil's cat?
You know what? You're going to stop speaking right now.
All right. It's a priceless object, man. Forged out of pure gold. Worth millions.
I thought you said it was priceless.
You do not want to argue semantics with a PhD candidate.
PhD?
Yeah.
I am really very close to being Dr. Travis Walker.
Dropped out of Stanford after two semesters, Einstein.
So I'm fairly close. Closer than you.
You're close to getting your ass kicked again. We got a plane to catch.
Wait. Ricardo is real, all right? I know where to find it. I'll split it with you, 80-20.
Move.
70-30. Oh! You're a very unpleasant individual, you know that?
Now, a buggy car and open-top trunk full of men are driving through the jungle. Hatcher sits up top, with Harvey standing next to him with his nose bandaged.
Adesantes!
The vehicles stop and the brothers get out. They come to look out over a deep gorge with a river snaking through it.
You think they're dead?
What, am I psychic?
I want to cut that kid's nose off.
Oh, Harvey, you want to get the gato, because if the bad guys get it, they won't need us anymore. There'll be no one to work the mine. You want to work the mine?
Hatcher turns to face his men.
There are two men in that jungle who are trying to steal from me. I feel like a little boy who's lost his first tooth, put it under his pillow waiting for the tooth fairy to come. Only two evil burglars have crept in my window and snatched it before she could get here.
Ha fatto dos...
Wait a second. Do you understand the concept of the tooth fairy?
The men stare at him.
Explain it to me.
A falla los dentes, idiotas. Vos se perdi un dente? Ah? Point de bacho? Almofala? Ah, fado?
Wait, truck. She takes a goddamn thing, gives you a quarter. They got my tooth. I want it back.
Cruising over the thick blanket of jungle that hugs the contours of the mountains. While Hatcher's convoy drives through the inhospitable terrain, elsewhere, Beck and Travis are on foot.
I have to ask you, back at the bar, man. That was crazy. And no guns, strip, toss, strip.
Didn't I tell you to be quiet?
I know, but what is that? Some kind of nouveau samurai code or something? You got a problem with guns?
Let's just say they take me to a place I don't want to go.
Where do they take you?
To a place you don't want to see me go.
Walk. Oh. How often do you work out?
The convoy speeds on along the dirt track.
Let me get this straight. Do you never use guns?
No.
Never?
Never.
What if your best friend was gonna die? You wouldn't pick up a gun?
No guns.
Santa Claus would pick up a gun to save his best friend.
Do I look like Santa Claus? Do I look like Santa Claus to you?
What is it? Guns make you un poco loco? Bang, bang, crazy?
I pick up guns, bad things happen to people. I don't like that.
What kind of things?
Very bad things, Travis. Walk.
What about knives?
Move.
My father doesn't share the same distaste for guns you do.
He's your father. He's not going to kill you.
The only thing Billy Walker cares about is what's good for business. Now, the question is, Mr. Beck, what's good for your business? Huh? You don't like money?
I don't make deals with people like you.
You don't even know me.
You're just like every other jackass that I've taken down. First they try to run, then they try to fight, then they try to negotiate. And when that doesn't work, they do exactly what you're about to do when you realize it's over.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
You're gonna get down on your hands and knees and you're gonna beg me for a break. Well, guess what? I don't give breaks. No breaks.
You don't understand the situation.
You borrowed money from the wrong guy. You shot the wrong guy. You slept with the wrong guy's wife. I don't care. Your mistake.
What about you, Mr. Beck? Haven't you ever made a mistake? I know. Move. No breaks. That's lame.
No breaks. Oh, I don't give breaks. Santa Claus doesn't give any breaks.
As Hatcher and his men drive deeper into the jungle, Beck and Travis walk on wearily. Travis strolls in front, half glancing over his shoulder at Beck.
Should have been at the airstrip by now.
Yeah, like I'm really gonna help you out with this.
I didn't ask for your help.
Travis stops in a clearing.
What are you doing?
I have to pee.
Pin your pants. Move.
No. I've let you push me around this jungle for like 5 hours. You've been very aggressive, and I'm not taking another step until you let me pee. If you want to keep on going, you're just going to have to carry me, and I guarantee I'm going to pee on your head.
You threatening me? You threatening me with pee?
Well, yeah, if you don't let me pee here.
Fine. You win. Pee.
Will you unzip me?
No, I'm not going to unzip you. You want to pee, you have 30 seconds.
How am I supposed to pee with my hands cuffed behind my back?
Find a way. Pee.
Come on. Don't make it weird. Please.
Don't breathe. Don't say a word. Don't even look at me. Look over there.
Thanks, man.
Travis turns his back to pee.
Oh, shit.
He jiggles around.
Oh, I can't get it out. Could you just help?
No. Hell no.
Travis jumps up and down and jerks his body back and forth.
Son of a... Come on! Oh, hey! Hey, got it.
Congratulations, you got 30 seconds. Hurry up.
Don't listen to Tiny Tim, okay? You're the real big boy. Everybody knows it. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go! Oh, yeah. I'm going. Oh, boy.
Beck steps on a trap, and a rope on a pulley yanks him up by the ankle into the air.
Oh. Ooh.
What is this? What is... Travis! Hey!
Welcome to the jungle, tough guy! Looks like hey, Big Boy got himself pig-snared!
Hey, I got the keys to your cuffs. Oh.
I'll tell you what you've got, pal.
You've got
problems.
Don't do it, Travis. Hey, get me down. Ooh. Travis.
Oh, what's shit. This? Is this your diary? Huh, your little journal?
Give me that.
Huh?
Don't touch that.
But you want this?
Give that back to me.
Come on, get it. Come on. Get it. Come on. Yeah. Oh, yeah, come on. Get it.
Give it to me.
Caw-caw. You're like a little birdie up there. Caw-caw.
I will kill you. You better give me that book.
Shrimp and pea risotto with basil and mint. What are you, a chef?
None of your business. Give me the book back.
Well, looks like your Wolfgang stuck right here, huh?
Travis! Hey, I let you pee.
Oh, yeah, you did. Thank you so much. Do you have to pee, huh? Well, you got 30 seconds. Go ahead and pee.
Oh, shit.
Travis also gets sneered.
Hey, I was totally kidding about what I said.
Give me the book.
I don't want it.
Turn around.
Oh, well, you always gotta hit me.
All right, now listen to me. We gotta get to this tree. Now let's go back to back.
All right, okay.
Kick your legs.
I'm trying. Kicking my legs. Where are you?
Grab my back, not my ass.
Got it. Oh, great, you did it. Now what?
Put your arm over me.
Oh,
get
why?
To the tree. Listen
oh,
to me.
You're
put
like
your arm
Joel
over
Pink
me.
Steer?
Put your arm over me. What?
Just stop moving.
Fine, you gotta grab the... What was that?
Oh, shit.
What was that?
Monkeys.
A monkey jumps onto the tree they're clinging onto.
Steady.
The monkey comes face to face with the upside-down Beck and snarls. Beck lets go and the pair swing out above the clearing. The surrounding trees are full of angry monkeys. A monkey claws at Beck, then leaps onto him.
Do not fight
them! Oh my god! What's he doing? What is he doing?
He's helping you!
What's he doing?
He's helping you!
What's he doing?
Establish dominance!
While the monkey thrusts into Beck, the other monkeys get more and more excited.
Make him stop!
A man shoots a rifle into the air, making the monkey scatter.
Who's that?
It's the rebels. Don't worry, they're my friends.
Hey, bienvenidos, amigos. God bless you. Say hi.
Hi.
Later in a camp, the rebel leader's holding a pile of cash and going through Beck's notebook. Nearby, a woman's cooking and a man shaving a piece of wood, whilst others sit around armed to the teeth and with menacing stares. Beck and Travis have their hands tied behind their backs.
These are your friends, huh? Are you kidding me? I'm starting to long for a monkey with a heart on.
The rebel leader takes off his shades and approaches them.
Whatever happens, just keep looking into his eyes.
Won't that offend him?
No. Whatever you do, do not blink. They're like grizzlies. Just shut up and let me take care of this.
We know you work for Hatcher. Were you tracking us?
He thinks we work for Hatcher.
Well, tell him the truth.
Fierce gaze, fierce gaze, fierce gaze. Meo camarada, now faço parte da gangue do Hatcher.
Honorable host, unlike this man on my left, I do not work for that evil scum.
Why does the giant stare at me without respect? I will cut out his arrogant eyes.
What's he saying? Shut up, just hold this gaze, hold this gaze. Amigo.
He is Hatcher's assassin, paid to hunt all who oppose him, including me.
Why do I get the feeling you really suck at Portuguese?
What did he say?
He says he pisses on your ancestors and that you would make a very pretty bride.
What's going on?
I think he wants to fight you.
No, we're not fighting. Tell him I don't want to fight. I do not want to fight you. We are not fighting. I do not want to fight. We are not fighting.
Don't worry, they're little people.
What?
You can take them, they're little. You can win.
Why do you want to fight? Why? I just want to get back to the airport. Please. I just have to get home.
Okay, hip-hop.
The rebel leader takes off his shirt, revealing a six-pack. His comrades surround him and Beck and throw down their weapons.
I don't want to do this. Please, please. Travis, tell him one more time I do not want to fight.
I'd love to help you out, buddy, but I don't think they're really listening to me anymore. Heads up.
The rebel leader swings down on a rope, punches Beck, then gripping his head with his feet, sends Beck spinning through the air.
That's okay! That is okay!
Now on the ground, the leader performs a series of acrobatic martial arts kicks and lightning punches. He circles Beck.
Hey, Kansas City's.
Don't do it.
The leader punches Beck's back, then kicks his feet out from under him.
What is that? It's like spinning Tarzan jiu-jitsu. Speedy little bastards, aren't they? It's gotta stay up.
While other rebels attack Beck on the ground, the leader and another man swing down on ropes, grab Beck by the ankles, then fling him 100 feet into the air. Beck flies into a tree branch. Beck falls backwards, his body flipping over as it hits trees on the way down. The leader lands like a cat, then basks in the applause. Face down on the ground, Beck moves. As Beck struggles to get up, the leader unleashes an axe which only just misses Beck's head. The other rebels jump in, but Beck starts fighting back. He somersaults to avoid two flying axes, lands heavily on a rebel's back, then flings him into a tree. The leader leaps onto him, but Beck pushes him to the ground and holds a knife to his throat.
am not your enemy.
Para! Pare com isso.
Mariana.
Então? E assim com vocês gastam o tempo?
Mas ele é dos assassinos do Hatcher.
Ele não tem nada a ver com Hatcher. Ele veio para ele.
What are you doing here?
Bar made by day, a rebel leader by night. You are good. The whole time I was working you, you were working me.
I was hoping you might find El Gato de Diablo.
It could have all been work. Could it? That was some good work.
What do you think, Travis?
I knew. You know that, right? I totally knew.
Scarves? Hey. Yes. The herbs will keep it from getting infected.
Mariana hands Beck a bull, then points to a scratch from the monkey.
Why do you do this?
Pardon me?
Why do you fight?
Because of 65 cents an hour, Mr. Beck. That's what Hatcher pays the workers. But in order to mine, you need tools. You need food, clothing, a place to sleep. You have no money, so what do? You borrow from Hatcher. Pick and shovel, $1 a day. Sock to hold the dirt, $1.
Oh, Mr. Beck knows a lot about that, don't you? He knows what it's like to dig a hole so deep you can never climb out.
Call it what you want. To scrub it down. For slavery. And we intend to stop it.
Perguntes para ele. Quem ganharia a luta? O Mike Tyson ou Muhammad Ali?
Manito wants to know who you think would win a fight between Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali.
Ali, hands down.
Mas o Mike Tyson é muito forte.
He says, what about Tyson's power?
Shit. Tell him Ali would have done to Tyson what he did to Foreman in Africa.
Rambo in the jungle.
Tell him Ali was too smart.
Ali é muito esperto.
Too smart, too fast, would have used his jabs. Bam, bam!
Faria isso.
Would have danced.
Dançando.
Would have played with his mind.
Ele.
Before you know it, bam! Left to the body, bam! Right to the head.
Corpo, mão direita na cabeça.
Down goes Tyson.
Float like butterfly.
Sting like bee.
Float like butterfly. Sting like bee.
Yeah.
Float like butterfly. Sting like a bee.
Yeah.
Float like butterfly. Sting like a bee. Ah!
Beck smiles, then turns away. Manitou, who fought with Beck earlier, watches him with admiration, then takes off his necklace.
Te dou este presente porque você é grande lutador. E pra te dar boa sorte.
He says he thinks you are a great fighter. And he wants you to have it. It's for luck.
Tell him I'm sorry. I can't.
You'll offend him if you refuse.
Manitou holds out the tooth necklace.
I'm honored. Thank you.
Beck takes it and puts it on.
You'll need all the luck you can get. It's a long walk back to the airfield. Especially by yourself.
Nice.
You don't understand. I'm not going back without him.
Oh, here we go again.
50 rifles say you are.
She gives him his notebook.
And we're rebels, not thieves.
The shot has everyone on their guard. Then one of the soldiers drops down dead. Hatcher and his men storm into the camp. Hatcher stands by watching while his men in vehicles round up and shoot the rebels.
Let's clean it up.
The man with the whip catches a rebel by the neck, while Harvey lets rip with an automatic. Some of the rebels are shot fleeing into the jungle. In the confusion, Travis runs into the dark undergrowth, only to be stopped abruptly by Beck's fist in his face.
Not so fast, jungle boy.
They're dazzled by a motorcycle's headlights, then Mariana steps in and shoots the rider.
No!
Together, they run off deeper into the jungle, with Hatcher's men hot on their heels. They manage to get to a boat. Manito's not far behind when he gets shot in the leg.
Manito! Manito, vamos!
Pacho finishes Manito off with a bullet in his back. Beck, Mariana and Travis ride off down the river in the boat, leaving Hatcher and his men on the bank. Hatcher steps forward and watches them disappear around a bend.
I want hunting parties. Small ones. Find them. Find them!
The men all leap into action. Hatcher lingers a moment, looking in the direction Beck and the others went, before finally turning away. Daytime, and the glassy surface of the river shows a reflection of the sky. Mariana, Beck, and Travis are sitting apart on the boat, each lost in their own thoughts. As the small boat motors down the river, sunlight glints through the canopy. Mariana keeps her hand on the rudder. Beck turns to look at Travis, who seems reluctant to meet his eye. She stops the boat, then turns to face them with her rifle resting across her legs. At the prow, Travis looks back at the others' expectant faces, then turns away again.
All right, this is the way it's going to be. You're going to take me to Ogata do Jihaba. And you're going to take me now.
Calm down.
Don't. You saw what they do. Don't ever tell me to calm down. Travis, don't play with me.
Or what?
Or I'm going to shoot you.
Well, if you shoot me, you're never going to find the gato. So, we're going to make a little deal.
Deal? You see, Ogato is just an object to you. It's a life in the Riviera and a private yacht.
Lady, you don't know the first thing about
me. For us, it's hope.
Oh, you're breaking my heart. It's like a friggin' telethon.
You're selfish!
Enough!
Sit down!
Holy shit, you tried to shoot me! You saw it! Crazy.
Shut up. The deal is this. He'll take you to the gato. You just show me how in the hell I get out of this jungle so I can take him home. Deal? Do we have a deal?
Deal.
Let me get this straight. She gets what she needs. You get what you need. And I get the shaft.
I could always give her back the gun.
I really don't like you.
Yeah, well, I get that a lot.
Seriously.
The boat drifts on downriver. Now, pulling back swiftly into the air to reveal the river snaking through the dense jungle, surrounded by a precipitous mountain. On a track running close to the edge, Hatcher's convoy is on the move again. The trucks split up. Harvey sits in one, manning an automatic. Travis, Mariana and Beck have left the boat and are now climbing onto higher ground. They pause to get their bearings. Travis checks a map, then looks at a mountain up ahead. Mariana looks at Beck with open curiosity, and at first he tries to ignore her.
What?
I was just wondering how it is you came to do, you know, whatever it is you do.
It's a long story.
It's a long walk.
I grew up in a very rough place. One thing led to another, that's all. Just like you.
Like me?
Yeah, you get pushed, you push back. With me, I pushed so hard, the word got around. Before I knew it, I was standing in a room full of the wrong people, with the wrong money.
So you think I'm standing in a room full of the wrong people?
Yeah, something like that.
I like you, Mr. Beck. Really. But you and I are nothing alike. Travis, let's keep moving. Let's go.
She walks on, and Beck pauses to watch her, his expression pensive. Soon after, the three of them are crossing a ridge. With Travis in the lead, they then walk along a riverbank. Travis clambers onto some boulders, then pauses and gazes straight ahead of him. He moves on a little further, towards whatever's caught his attention.
What are you doing?
Let's take us a little swim, Wolfgang.
We're not swimming, we're moving. Let's go.
Come on, big boy.
You could use a bath.
Travis, we have to keep moving. It'll be dark soon.
Why? We're already here.
Standing ankle deep in a pool, he gestures towards a waterfall, then dives into the water. The others start to undress.
Don't pee in the water.
Why?
A candiru, a vicious parasite, will swim up the urine into your bowel.
Come on, big boy! Feels good!
Swim up my what?
Your pintu. It'll swim up your ding-dong, and once it gets in, we can't get it out.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Come on!
Well, then what?
They have to amputate.
Beck looks down, then quickly pulls his trousers back up.
Not this boy's pintu. Not today.
As the smooth water cascades into the pool in a rush of white, the three of them swim under the surface, their bodies silhouetted in the gloomy depths. They surface in a cave.
The hieroglyphic code said the great chief of the Maojai people put the gato to sleep behind the walls of a moving curtain.
A waterfall.
Travis climbs out and looks around the dark, cavernous interior. Then he takes some matches out of a plastic bag and lights one.
Whoa.
A seam running along the rock catches fire.
Must be some kind of methane buildup.
The line of fire moves deeper into the cave.
It's cool. Let's go.
Suddenly, a huge ball of flames erupts, sending them diving back under the water.
Real genius. You have no clue what you're doing.
Oh, shut up. You obviously don't know the first thing about methane deposits.
Oh, and you do?
Shut up.
What'd you just say?
With the fire now extinguished, they climb out onto the rocks. Up ahead, Beck and Travis peer through a tangle of vines. Then Travis steps through, with the others following on behind. They find themselves in a man-made chamber, where a complex network of struts reach from the floor to the ceiling.
What is it?
Why do I get the feeling we are not supposed to be here?
Because we're not.
Travis moves one of the beams, dislodging some stones from the ceiling.
There it is! I told you it was real!
Travis, you're never gonna get back there. It's too dangerous.
The gato is on the other side of the beams.
The roof is coming down.
Wait a second.
A floor carving.
Jaguar.
I know what this is. Monkey. Eagle.
I can't hold this, Travis.
I know what this is.
What is it?
It's an 800-year-old safe. This is how they kept their treasures protected. It's a combination. Jaguar, cat, gato, cat. It's gotta be the jaguar. The bull that sticks closest to the jaguar will be okay. For about 60 seconds, then the whole roof's coming down.
You're not gonna touch anything. Let's go.
Travis moves one of the beams, then when nothing happens, he follows the animal carvings on the ground.
Follow the jaguar. Follow the jaguar.
As Travis moves between the beams, Beck is straining to keep them upright.
Easy. Easy.
Oh. Coming down, Travis.
Travis carries on, then dislodges another support over a floor carving. Travis pulls out another beam, then climbs through to where the Gato is sitting in a shrine.
Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
He takes hold of the statue with both hands, then wipes away some of the dirt to reveal the gold underneath.
I found you. That's some Oxford archaeologist or some stiff-ass Harvard professor. I did! I found you!
Who gives a shit?
How you like me now?
As they run for their lives, the ceiling caves in around them.
These are conlabos. They're very rare. You're lucky.
Mariana hands Travis and Beck half a fruit each.
And I wouldn't flirt with Ogato de Diablo's eyes if I were you. They say it's quite dangerous.
What else did they say?
That once restored to its rightful owners, the rivers will run deep laden with fish.
And the trees will grow tall, bringing shade for thousands of hammocks, so its people may rest their weary backs.
You think bringing this Gato to your people will do all that?
No, Mr. Beck, but I expect the money selling it brings will do just that. We can buy seed, irrigate, farm our own lands, free ourselves from Hatcher's mine. Lutadores de Liberdade.
You know, when that statue hits a black market, it's gonna vanish forever.
It's a little late for morals, don't you think? Especially after you were going to do the same thing yourself. And 10% of that black market is going to pay for your freedom, so I'd be a little more grateful if I were you.
What if I told you I was gonna give it to a museum? So that the whole world could appreciate it.
You can tell me anything you want, Travis. But I know you.
She throws Beck some more fruit.
So what are you going to do after you bring him home, Mr. Beck?
I'm going to open a restaurant.
Yeah, he's a killer in the kitchen, too.
10-15 tables. Nothing fancy.
Italian. Southern Italian.
The fruit drops from Travis's hand, and his vision becomes distorted. When he looks at Beck and Mariana, their heads and facial features seem to stretch and contort. Noticing Travis trying to focus on his hand, Beck frowns, but then gets out his notebook.
How do you,
Travis keels over.
How do you spell,
Conlabos.
Conlabos. With a K. Don't worry. After 4 or 5 hours, you'll be as good as new. The fire will keep the animals away until sunup. I'm sorry. But money has a way of changing people. You did find it, Travis. Just like you said. No one can take that away from you.
As the men lie paralyzed but awake, she bends down and gives Travis a kiss.
And I will send you the money. Buy your freedom. I meant it.
To Beck.
You kept your word, and I admire that. So I'll keep mine. Go north until you reach the Guantana Road. Take it south, all the way to the airfield. Good luck to you, Mr. Beck.
She gives him a kiss too. Then clutching the gold statue, she disappears into the dark jungle. Now it's daytime, and a dazzling sun shines on the river and bathes the lush slopes in its warm light. Mariana's walking along a ridge. Harvey and Hatcher's men are on the prowl in their vehicles. Meanwhile, in the clearing, Travis and Beck are lying where they fell. Beck's thumb twitches and his lips move. Nearby, an unseen figure is walking in the undergrowth. The figure approaches Beck, whose eyes widen in horror.
Oh, shit. What?
A monkey is sitting on a log watching them.
What?
Monkey.
Monkey, bro. Just get away from me.
Get out of here, monkey.
Yeah, okay. Get out of here, okay.
Oh, no.
I hate this place.
Get out of here,
I hate penis-eating minnows, and I hate freaky fish.
Get away from me.
I want to go home. I want concrete.
Get out of here, monkey.
I want homemade tortellini. I want my Los Angeles Lakers. That's where I want to go home.
Go!
I want to go home.
Go!
I want to go home.
Die, monkey. Die, monkey.
Beck stands up, but falls flat on his face again. At the airstrip, Declan's messing about with tools. Behind him, two blurred figures are coming towards him.
Oh, what about that?
It's Beck and Travis.
And for a stroll, have you boys? Where's my bag?
Where's my Jeep?
Give me my bag.
Declan tosses him the bag, and Beck opens it up.
Give me water.
He cuts through Travis's wrist binding, then handcuffs him. Declan produces some water.
Sit down. How soon before we can take off?
Well, there's a slight matter of a jeep you left at the bottom of a mountainside.
I'll take care of it.
And a right bloody large puddle, am I wrong?
I said I'll take care of it.
That jeep is dead, my friend.
Look, you'll get your money. Just start the plane.
That's your big hurry.
Look, I'm just trying to get out of here before I run into Hatcher or any more problems.
Don't go worrying about Hatcher. That monstrosity won't give a flying fornication for a pair of yous no more. He got what he was after.
What do you mean he's got what he was after?
He caught up with poor Marianne in the jungle. Relieved her of her artifact.
What'd you say?
I said he relieved her of her artifact. It's a word in the English language, artifact. Artifact, look it up.
Son of a bitch. He's got my gato.
Your what?
The gato. Don't you speak English?
Hey, where is she?
Hatcher's got her in time. He's torching her for information.
He's doing what?
The Luchadores, the Libre Daddy. Freedom fighters, my ass. Luchadores, the local, you ask me. They're all gonna die. Come on, I'll abort.
Declan heads towards the plane, but Beck hesitates, looking torn. Travis looks at him questioningly. Beck paces around a little, then stands beside a herd of cattle and thinks. He turns to Travis, then looks away again.
Come on.
What are you doing?
Beck cuffs him to a post.
Made a deal.
A deal? What the hell does that mean?
I'm here at the airstrip. She doesn't have the gato.
Gonna go in there by yourself? No way. No way. Hey, Hatcher's got a small army back there. You don't even know your way around the town. Oh, wait. I got an idea. How about you saddle up to one of those bulls over there, you ride into town like a conquistador and challenge all of them to a duel?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. You don't use guns.
What's your point?
You're gonna die, Beck.
The boy's right, Mr. Beck. Do you mind if we settle the bell now?
You need help.
Are you gonna help me, Travis? All you care about is the money.
No, Beck, you're wrong. I'd rather die than let that son of a bitch get my gato. You need all the help you can get, hell. You can even use him for Christ's sake.
Don't bring me into it, I got a dodgy knee here.
You can't do this on your own.
Beck turns things over in his mind.
okay, Travis? I know you're gonna run on me. Might not be tonight, it might not be tomorrow. But I will find you, and I will take you back. Are we clear?
Yeah. We'll both probably be dead in about an hour. So let's cancel Christmas.
Hatcher watches Mariana being brought in.
Brava! Bellissima, brava!
Your plan of attack was a bit naive. Man, if I was only 10 minutes younger, huh? I suppose now we have a conversation where you enlighten me.
Mr. Hatcher.
How many more of you are out there? Enlighten me. Where are the rest of your compadres? Enlighten me.
Mr. Hatcher.
What I don't get is why are you people so hostile? I've been good to you. I built you a town. Why are we fighting?
Mr. Hatcher.
What?
We've lost contact with Outpost One. There's nobody answering.
Hatcher appears at a monitor and comes face to face with Beck.
Mr. Hatcher, you out there?
What can I do for you, Mr. Beck?
I have no desire to fight with you or your men. For that reason, you have two options. Option A, you leave the Gato and the girl, and you walk out of town, no questions asked.
Yeah, what's option B?
Option B, I make you. Wrong choice.
Beck punches the camera and the monitor goes black.
Lock down the town.
Soon after, armed guards and vehicles are stalking through the town streets, making the people flee in panic. Hatcher's watching proceedings from his surveillance room. Mariana and the other rebels are handcuffed to a pole. Sandbags are stacked on roofs, and guards are taking up positions around the main street. Gradually, the townspeople begin to clear away, leaving behind only Hatcher's men, ready and waiting. Harvey steps onto the road with a rifle in one hand and a harmonica in the other. Guns are poised, and the men are keeping their eyes peeled. Hatcher's in the surveillance room. Ears prick up at the sound of music. Hatcher glimpses someone on a monitor, but then it goes black. Declan striding into the town playing the bagpipes. He stops. Hatcher's men just stare at him. He's wearing a kilt and sporran.
Hey! I'd heard the sound of thy holy trumpet and took not warning. Hey! Has clearly wandered too far from the word of God. And Cornelius, Bernard Hatcher, your hour has come. Let's get it on, big boy. It's time to get back on the path.
He blows up his pipes. Everyone looks up. There's something coming. Suddenly, the herd of cattle comes thundering out of the jungle. The men start to run as the bulls stampede down the main street. Flimsy buildings crash to the ground. Guards and vehicles are sent flying.
That's a lot of cows.
One of Hatcher's men creeps out to look at the main street, only to find Beck glowering down at him.
Hi.
After dispatching a couple of guards, Beck tosses their rifles into a pile in the middle of the street. Dodging bullets, Travis ducks behind a car, then takes aim with two pistols.
What nerve!
Also hiding behind a car, Beck spots the men who are shooting at Travis. As Travis drops his empty weapons, then runs the gauntlet of gunfire across the street, Beck leaps onto a truck and attacks the gunman. Declan sits down to watch.
Very bloody time, eh?
Somebody just shoot him.
A man hauls Travis into a store, then throws him into some shelves. Using the threat of rifles as a decoy, Beck slickly attacks one soldier with another. As Travis throws things at the man in the store, Beck dodges sniper bullets. Travis prepares for hand-to-hand combat.
Oh, yeah? Oh, you want one?
Oh. Okay. A little thunder. Oh, you like thunderstorms, big boy? How about some lightning?
Oh, oh!
Travis acts like a monkey to distract him, then knees him in the stomach.
Ears!
Then he throws the man into some boxes and psychs himself up. Hatcher turns to Harvey.
Take the Gato and the girl and get to the airfield. If you run into trouble, use her as a hostage. And Harvey, when you're safely out of town, put her out of my misery.
In El Dorado, Travis breaks cover and grabs a gun off the street, but comes under heavy gunfire from Hatcher's men. As he dives into a truck, which gets riddled with bullets, Beck sees him and looks worried. Hatcher's watching.
Boom, boom.
The truck windows shatter. Beck focuses on each of the gunmen. Declan raises a beer to an old woman.
You've not got jammed onto that. Good night, my lovely.
Travis cowers in the truck.
Bridge! Bridge!
Against the dying of the light.
There shall be no mercy for any force that stands.
Fuel pours out of the tank.
Blocking this path of his righteousness.
As Travis yells for help, Beck closes his eyes. There are rifles next to him. Beck opens his eyes, grabs the rifles, then stands up. With a look that means business, he breaks his cover and starts shooting at Hatcher's men. Using both rifles, he takes out the snipers on the surrounding buildings. Travis looks up in the burning truck with a look of hope. Beck expertly twirls the rifles, then shoots a man. Another man gets shot and tumbles down some steps. As Travis leaps from the truck, three sharpshooters take aim. Beck fires off a warning shot at them. The tank's still hemorrhaging fuel.
Boom! Shakalaka! Chura!
As the truck explodes into a massive ball of flames, Beck calmly walks away from it. Travis is thrown onto his front and narrowly avoids a blazing tire. As Beck shoots at the snipers, Travis sees Harvey preparing to leave with Mariana and the Gato.
No way.
He runs towards a truck. Meanwhile, Beck takes cover in a building across from the sharpshooters, then throws down his spent rifle. Travis's truck catches up with Harvey's getaway car.
Give me back my Gato, you little ball freak!
The vehicles collide, then crash into a beam supporting a huge water tank. They manage to get out just before the tank topples over and crushes the cars. Still under heavy fire, Beck runs and leaps out of a window. As he lands on the floor under where the sharpshooters are, he crashes through a brick column, then proceeds to knock out all of the supporting beams from the flimsy building. The roof caves in with a gunman still on it, and they land hard on the ground. Beck manages to jump clear, but he's injured his arm. Bent over, he looks up the street and sees three men armed with whips walking calmly towards him.
Oh, great.
In the surveillance room, Hatcher stands up. The three men surround Beck and crack their whips menacingly. Standing ankle-deep in water, Travis holds up the gold statue and stares at it. The whip men begin their assault. Hatcher loads a heavy-duty handgun. Trapping one of the men's hands, Beck grabs his gun and takes aim, but another man flicks it out of his hand with his whip. Beck leaps up horizontally to avoid a sweeping lash. Having been spun onto his back, Beck kicks out at two of the whip men before shooting them with a pistol in each hand. The third whips the weapon out of his hand. Hatcher's approaching with menace. As Beck and the last whipman square up to each other, on a nearby roof, an injured sniper reaches for his rifle. Beck and his opponent exchange kicks and punches. The sniper cocks his weapon. Suddenly, Travis shoots the sniper and his rifle drops into Beck's hand. Then Beck turns and fires at Hatcher.
Whoa!
Travis lowers his gun and holds up the Gato.
See ya.
You got the moves. I'll give you that.
Seeing Travis is gone, Beck lowers the rifle. Hatcher goes to pick up his dropped gun.
You reached into the wrong refrigerator, Mr. Beck.
Mariana shoots Hatcher in the arm. The rebels and townspeople begin closing in.
Hold your horses! What have I done? Are we not men?
Hatcher.
What?
Option A is still on the table. You can walk away right now.
Option A doesn't work for me. Before I came here, what did you people have? Face it, be fair.
I put a roof over your head, a little coin in your pockets, you barefoot Indians. Didn't have pockets before Hatcher came along.
I give you life!
I'm the heart in the darkness.
Face it. You can't run this thing without me. I am pumping the blood of the modern world into your backward veins. You're stinking!
He grabs his gun.
Ingrate. Oompa Loompa. Moron!
Before he can shoot, someone shoots him.
Okay. That's it. I'm done.
He puts on his hat.
Mr. Beck. I'll take option A.
Clear, please.
The rebels and townspeople gather together and watch somber-faced as Hatcher staggers down the main street on his way out of town. Hatcher drops to his knees.
Oh, shit.
He keels over, dead. Soon after, Beck unlocks Mariana's handcuffs.
You make a hell of an entrance, Mr. Beck.
She takes a look at the town.
I'd offer you a beer, but I think you blew up my bar.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Thank you.
We had a deal.
Yes, we did.
And I'm afraid I didn't deliver on that deal.
How's that?
The gatto. I promise you the gatto.
Yes, well, I promised you, Travis.
Y'all talking about this Travis? And this gatto?
Travis walks over to them. He looks at the gatto, then holds it out to her.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, we'll make sure they spell my name right. Told you it wasn't about the money. Well, big boy, I guess it's your move.
Beck takes a moment to think.
I'm impressed myself, Travis.
The two men shake hands.
Declan, start the plane.
Declan, start the plane? What does that mean, Declan, start the plane?
I'm taking you home, Travis.
Oh, I figured that.
No brakes. Good luck.
You too. I will send you your cut.
Move.
Not a penny less than 15.6 million.
Move, Travis.
You really ought to stay away from guns. You might get yourself a psychiatrist.
Mariana holds the gatto up above her head. A sea of hands clambers to touch it as everyone gathers around. Travis and Beck set off along the main street, leaving the still smoking town behind them. Now, a sleek black four-wheel drive comes to a halt in an upmarket residential neighbourhood. Wearing fresh clothes and shades, Beck gets out of the driver's side, then takes his holdall out of the back. He opens the passenger door, and a still handcuffed Travis steps out. Travis stops and gazes at his father's house.
Move.
Inside, Billy comes to greet them.
Well, look at him! Look at you, your beard. You're like a real man. But you're so thin.
Running is good exercise.
It's good exercise. That's funny, did you hear him? Running for your life. I love it, I really do!
He punches Travis's face.
Did you know there is not enough aspirin in the world for a headache like you, huh?
Well, there probably is, but I understand what you mean.
Well, that's good. Because that means you'll understand why you're going to take that little trip back to Chicago, huh?
Actually, I don't completely understand that one.
Ah, still the smart ass.
I'm not that smart, Dad. I didn't know she was married.
Well, she was. Very married. And you? What took you so long, huh?
Your kid was a tough rundown, Billy.
Him? No.
Yeah, yeah. But I did walk him right through that door, right? Just like we agreed?
You did.
We good?
We're good. 250 large. You got your restaurant, kid. Now get out of here, huh?
Billy, before I leave, when I was down in Brazil, they showed me this ritual that they practice when they have these big celebrations. And what they do is they eat this fruit, and it's called colabos, with a K. So I figured before I leave, we could celebrate one last time.
Come on, guys. Try some of this, we get it over with. If he says it's good, it's gotta be good. He's the best chef I know.
Billy, here. You try the first piece.
Not bad. Big seeds, though. I don't like seeds.
Beck unlocks Travis's handcuffs.
Hey, what?
The hallucinatory effects of the fruit start to kick in, with heads and facial features stretching and contorting. Billy's two heavies keel over, one at a time. Billy turns to Beck.
I'll walk him right through that door, Billy.
Beck and Travis's grins become huge.
Boy. You got a funny looking face.
Hey, Dad.
Billy collapses.
I love you. You know that? Because you showed me something back there. You did. I thought you had character, but I wasn't sure. Dude, you got it, man. You really got it.
Get the truck.
You know, you pretty much violated every agricultural law back there.
That's the least of my problem.
I know. You should go back in there and finish him off.
You want to go back in there? Go ahead. Knock yourself out. I'll wait for you right here.
I'm not going back in there.
So shut up, get in the truck, before I change my mind.
Don't push me.
What?
Don't push me. I appreciate everything you did back there. But if you want to get technical about it, all you really did is even up the score since I saved your life first.
Get in the truck.
You don't have to thank me. But this pushing shit ain't happening no more. You read me?
Uh-uh.
Okay. I'ma bust you up.
Go for it.
Yeah. Remember your friend, Mr. Thunder? How about his buddy, Mr. Lightning? I know you know him. You know him real well, don't ya? Just playing, man. I'll be in the truck.
He gives Beck a friendly punch.
I'm gonna kill you.
We got a motor running, I ain't even got my gun. Don't take it there, cause I'm prepared to get the job done. Even if the mob come running up in Mach 1. I don't want no beef with you, cause I'm a peaceful dude. Don't make me rearrange your face like a Rubik's Cube. Don't make me run up in your place like I was paid to do. The new vigilantes in town, ain't no place safe for you. Roar!